Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
BBN, we are in here for another episode of Believe in Kentucky. Got AG Aaron Gershaw. My name is Vinny Hardy. Y'all know AG from the Cat's Paws. Coming to y'all here on Believe.com, where you can get every episode of this podcast. BLEAV.com, number one content network for professionals. You can hear our recaps, our previews. We got all kind of stuff coming up for football season, man. AG, you down there in Florida, in Gator Country.
Yeah.
What's the scene, man? How's everything going?
Yeah, man, it's good. I was going to try to record a cool spot outside, the stadium, but it's raining, so that wasn't going to happen. but it's Florida. You know how it goes here. But, man, I'll tell you, on the flight down from Nashville this morning, a lot of Kentucky fans on the flight ready to go. I sat next to the mother of Dante Destin and Keaton Wade. So that was cool to talk to her. She was very proud of the hit Keaton made against Miami, Ohio last week. So that was fun. A lot of good Kentucky fans. And just going into Publix here, they're here, man. It's going to be fun. But, man, it feels like a huge freaking game for the second one of the season. The stakes are high given what Florida was able to do last week.
Yeah, they knocked off Utah. I'm just up here in South Carolina. I'm in Hilton Head. This rain is here too.
everywhere with palm trees, it's raining.
Yeah. But yeah, you mentioned the Wade twins. Their mom is all in. They were flying the UK flags at their play in high school last year. So definitely good to see the Kentucky presence. And you mentioned it feels like a big game for the second week of the season. It's kind of deja vu because last year all you heard, Kentucky, Missouri, week two.
Yeah, it was a big game then.
All last summer, same thing, week two, Missouri. So here we are a year later now, week two, Florida, and it's that same kind of vibe, I guess.
It really is, and probably the stakes are even higher because, I mean, the expectations for Missouri – I don't exactly remind. I knew they were supposed to be a middle of the pack SEC East team, and really after Kentucky went 5-6 during the COVID year, no one really knew exactly where Kentucky was going to be at. I don't think everyone had them as a 10-win team last year. So, but now, man, I mean, Kentucky's the team that everyone's kind of picked, at least the majority of SEC media picked, to finish second in the East. And Florida was kind of, and including myself, I mean, I'll put my hand up. I had them fifth in the East. I mean, I just didn't, it's so hard to get a read when it's a new coaching staff. And you just saw like a Florida just didn't feel like Florida last year. They just didn't have the same talent as they normally do. And that was, you know, kind of what rode Dan Mullen out of town is he just, you know, he's not much of a recruiter anymore. He just kind of wants to coach ball, and like that'll work in the NFL. But that's not going to work at the college level. So that's kind of what rode him out of here. So, but Billy Napier, from, you know, what we saw in a, you know, a big game, small sample size, but big game. I mean, they seem much more organized. They seem, their offense definitely seemed a lot cleaner. Obviously, Anthony Richardson was incredible. It just makes you wonder how the hell he wasn't starting last year over Emory Jones. No offense to Emory Jones, but man, it's a night and day difference at the quarterback position for him. So, yeah, I mean, this is a game where, and you look at what Georgia was able to do. I mean, who knows how good or not Oregon is, but you just see a 49-3 score to open the year, and you're like, man, you can't. This is a tough game to slip up because you don't want to. Yeah, you just don't want to lose an East game this early. And obviously, it just means a lot for momentum. I mean, I understand that Kentucky's got Youngstown State and Northern Illinois the next 2 weeks. But, you know, this could springboard things to, you know, kind of like we saw in 2018 where they got that win and they didn't take the foot off the gas for a while. Or it could go the other way, kind of like when they lost in 2019 and they ended up picking it back up and injuries played a role, but you know, they lost to Florida at home and then they lost the next week at Mississippi State and the next week at South Carolina. So you way rather win this game than not. But it's a tall task.
Let Roman Harper tell it. Yeah. It's going to go that way. It is going to be Florida winning handily. Kentucky is soft, and Anthony Richardson is the next best thing since Cam Newton.
Yeah, man. I really like Anthony Richardson. Like, as a fan of an NFL team that's going to need a quarterback next year, he's been at the top of my list, like even over Will. Just, I think he might translate a little better to the NFL. But to the Cam Newton and Vince Young comparisons after one freaking game, that was his first start. His first start, like, and again, like I've been on two different Florida themed podcasts had me on this week, and I told them the same thing. I think the world of the kid, but let him have half a season. Like, it's one game, and I think it does help that Kentucky's got DeAndre Square. I think this is a big game for DeAndre Square and Jaquez Jones because they've seen it all. They have 8 years of starting experience under their belt. They'll have the eye discipline, and I think that'll help kind of guide the younger guys too. And same with Jordan Wright. It's huge to get Jordan Wright back this week. I'm sure we'll touch on that. But the more veterans you have, the better. And luckily, the Kentucky's front seven is pretty experienced. It's just a game where, you know, you got to keep them in the pocket and then hope that, you know, the corners can do their job. And I think you feel pretty good about the front seven and at least limiting the run as much as possible. But the problem is he's got a cannon for an arm and it's accurate. And that's where, for me, like Carrington Valentine, Kedron Smith, Tyrell Asian, it's got to be a big night for those guys.
Yeah. Now, is he consistent? I mean, we don't have a lot to go on. He's got the cannon. Right. He's got the highlights. Can he consistently, as Hank Stram said, matriculate the ball down the field on you? Can he do that without making mistakes? Or will, going up against a veteran defense, especially front seven, can they get him to make some mistakes? I say make him beat you with his arm still, yeah.
Yes.
So, and we'll see if he can do that.
Yeah, they have to make him beat him with his arm. And I think the running, that's a God-given ability, right? I mean, we saw it with Lamar. We saw it with Trace McSorley. They were kind of rushers first, and then they developed into better passers later in their college career. And again, Anthony Richardson's only a redshirt sophomore who just started his first game. So I think he only threw for about 168 yards. I know there were some highlight reel plays in there, like that two-point conversion was unbelievable. Wow. If you can make him throw from the pocket, or at least – just not letting him go east south on you, make him go, you know, north, make him go south, north south instead of east west. I think that's definitely what you want, because he could beat you with his legs. All he needs is green grass. I mean, that's, you know, you can't really teach that. But the discipline on decision making and just executing throws, especially because, you know, outside of their slot receiver, they're pretty young at receiver, and they're not necessarily like Dane Key and Berrion Brown, where you just look at those guys and go, man, they don't look like freshmen, especially Key. I mean, Key is like, he's like a vet, it feels like. And I think the spring season really helped for him. So if you can make him throw it, yeah, the better, because he will beat you on the ground. There's no doubt about that. And they have three pretty good running backs too.
You got to give them credit for beating Utah.
Absolutely.
They had to eat that out. You know, and it was dicey. They got the dub.
They got the dub. And who knows? If Utah's quarterback isn't a dummy at the end of the game.
Exactly. I mean, like Stoops always says, they don't have to apologize for that win. I'm just saying. So they got the win. A lot of people had Utah beating them. So they pulled off the upset, if you will.
For sure.
The posters were definitely sold. They stole 25 jump that they're able to get into their top 15 team now. You know, when they were 37, now they're 12. But we'll see. They're what?
Wow.
Still taking favorite over, you know, going into Saturday. So, but Kentucky's not scared to go down there. They won in 2018. Should have won the year. Boom Williams.
They should have won that game.
Broken. So it's not like, and there's still guys on that team that have won in this environment. So it's the whole narrative is flipped as far as it's not 73-7 Spurrier domination anymore.
No. And they, I mean, 2020, they deserved to lose that game. They had a bad year. Yeah. They should have won in 2019 at home.
Yeah.
They should have won in 2017 at home. So really, you know, you're looking at the last, I guess that's five matchups. They should be 4-1. They're really 2-2, obviously. So, or 2-3 if you count. Yeah, 2-3 when they should be 4-1. So it's a very frustrating series, obviously. But this year just feels different. It feels like Kentucky is like, they expect to win, and the fans expect to win. That's never been the case. I don't even think last year. I think last year everyone kind of saw that they were overrated. I mean, they came in 10th, and we all know how the year crashed and burned after the Kentucky game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they played Alabama really well the week before. So I don't think anyone really expected Kentucky to win that game, just given the week before Kentucky barely beat Chattanooga, and they were able to pull that game out. And that was obviously a lot of, you know, you got to give Kroger Field – the fans credit, 8 false starts. You're not going to have that luxury this time. So, but there's a different, like you said, Kentucky's not afraid. There's a different type of confidence this time around than in years past. But, and the Florida hype, I mean, their ranking. I think part of that is there's so much gray area between 4 and 25. Like it's Alabama, it's Georgia, it's Ohio State, and everybody else. Like the pollsters have no idea what to do. And they just saw win, you skyrocket. You know, Kentucky beat Miami, Ohio, look bad in the first half, you're not moving type thing. So the polls mean nothing this early, but this game is just, it has a bigger feel than most September football games do. And I think that's because of the hype that Florida has, but in the quiet confidence of Kentucky.
And Kentucky won in the Swamp in 2018. Yep. But even like you said, going into the game last year, it was still a hope to beat Florida. Yeah. We hope we can beat them. Haven't beat them in Lexington since 1986. So it wasn't an expectation to beat them last year. It was, well, we hope we can. But now, like you said, this year is you expect to beat them. And I think that carries over from Stoops. You know, he saw them every year at Florida State and Miami. Yep. It's not like the mystique bothers him. He's been matching up with them pretty well for years. Should have some more W's against them. Like you said, one was a clock error, operator error. Then you had the, you know, uncovering a couple of receivers twice. That was, you can't make that up.
Yep. And then
14-9 game with Patrick Toles. Just get one drive. So, yeah. But there, you know, so Mark Story wrote a column about it in her leader talking about the heartbreak. Plenty of that. but he has given a lot of joy. Last year was straight joy. The 8 false starts, the block field goal, the win in the swamp, Cash Daniels popping the beer, all of that. He's, you know, so it's
turned around.
Shifted. It is shifted. And, you know, Florida fans want to say a blind squirrel finds a nut and all that kind of stuff, but it's not as one-sided or as much of a laugher as it used to be.
No, not at all. It hasn't been a laugher since, other than the 2016 game and probably 2013 in the Stoops era. I mean, it just hasn't. And he'll never say it. Mark Stoops hates Florida, man. He just comes off differently during Florida week. Like, he doesn't have this same, like, look in his eye when they play Georgia. I think there's a lot of respect for Kirby Smart. I don't see it as much, like, you know, going into LSU last year or whatever. I mean, Louisville, yeah, but I don't know. There's something about Mark Stoops, and probably like you said, it's because he's worked at Miami, he's worked at Florida State, and now he's at Kentucky, where, you know, the monkey was on his back to beat Florida for, you know, the first 6 years of his tenure, whatever that was, 6 or 7 years. And then just historically since 86. So, yeah, you can tell this game always means a little bit extra to him. He'll never admit it, but I can just – you get the vibe. They're going to – yeah, they're just not going to be afraid. And I don't think I just – it's the temperature, like with Roman Harper, man. I just don't get how one game changed so much. Like, I do understand how big a win that was, but – Like I said, the 1 through 3 in the rankings, everyone else, it's a crapshoot. Like, we didn't know. I thought I had Utah as a playoff team, but I didn't really know. It was kind of a guess. And I don't know. You watch that game, and both teams were pretty sloppy. Florida was less sloppy and had way better quarterback play. Outside of Anthony Richardson stuff, I just don't see how Florida looked like world beaters outside of the quarterback. I really don't.
Yeah, yeah. And so – did Kentucky struggle to rush the ball? Yeah.
Yeah.
were they maybe holding a little bit back? Maybe.
Hopefully.
but now for him to say they're soft and they're – it's not as bad or as good as it seems. I think it's somewhere in the middle. There were, you know, we talk about our guy Van Hals. There were just a few little misses, just a few off in the pass blocking and pass protection where big plays were there to be had. We talked with Jalen about the biggest jump from week 1 to week 2, and things can be cleaned up. So we'll see. You know, you're going up against a much better opponent. You're on their home field, so all that is going to factor in. But these guys. These new guys in O-line, you can't have experience until you get experience. They got some last week. They're going to get a lot more this week. But as far as, you know, how to play together as a unit, we saw Coach Yenzer talking about getting the best 5 out there.
That's still kind of
work in process and progress. And I think they will put forth a better showing all the way around, especially on the ground. I don't expect 50 yards rushing against Florida, even though they have a better front.
Yeah, and Florida gave up 230 to Utah, so you got to feel pretty good. I think they're going to have to roll Will Levis out a little bit more. I don't think they wanted him to risk anything against Miami, Ohio, but, you know, they know this game has bigger stakes. You know, I think Gavaste had a couple where he was close to breaking off, and either there was a missed assignment blocking-wise or he just got tripped up. The Turf Monster got him on one run. Mm. And then Lavelle Wright, I think – everything I've heard is they saw Chris Rodriguez in him when they recruited him. Injuries have kind of slowed him down, but if he can get into a rhythm, I think he's a good complementary back. Obviously, they need those two to stay healthy. I think that goes without said. I'd also watch out for this. We saw it a little bit at the end of practice Wednesday when they let the media in, but D. Beckwith might get some run out of the backfield. I know Mark Stoops hasn't talked about it, but he was practicing taking handoff. So that's a guy I'd watch for, it, especially in the red zone, maybe to mix things up a little bit. But, I also think Kenneth Horsey, who I know it was a mixed bag in the Citrus Bowl at left tackle, but his experience is huge at left tackle. And, you know, I like David Weilbach. I think he's going to have a good career eventually, but he just wasn't ready yet. And that's okay. He's a redshirt freshman who played 2 games last year, and that's fine. They gave him a shot. It didn't work out. You go to Horsey here. And I think at some point this year, Kanta Goodwin will be the starting left tackle. It's just not going to be this week because they are not going to throw him out in the swamp for his first start. That's just not a way. Yenzer even said it, that's a way to get guys' confidence wrecked, and you don't want that. So I think they're doing exactly what they need to do. I think they're best five right now. I thought Flax played a really good game, which he hasn't played that well in the past, so that's a good sign. I think obviously Manning and Cox played a good game, and outside of one pressure, Jagger Burton was great. So I think they do have their best five right now, which is huge, and that should definitely help with the run, and it needs to help with the pass protection through, because with pass protection too, because if you give Will Levis time, Florida's corners are not – they have a really good safety in Trey Dean, but their corners are not great. And Tavion Robinson, Dane Key, Berrion Brown, I'm trying to think, man, can you think of a better trio on at least on paper and the way they were able to prove themselves a bit, especially Tavion last week? That's a hell of a trio. Like, that is a really, really good trio. I mean, last year was all – I mean, Ali was okay, but it was all on Wandale. It was all on Wandale.
Is it – Well, you got to go back. Like, we got Keenan Burton, Stevie Johnson, and and Tammy, but he was a tight end.
Right. I think 2014, you had Javess Blue, you had Dorian Baker had a really good year, and somebody else, maybe Garrett Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
And but
Baker never did get to where we thought.
No, he never did.
He won the EKU game. But
thank God.
Yeah. You kept waiting for him to get to that level and stay there, and he just never did. But yeah, going back to the O-line too, there was just guys supposed to go on the second level and get a guy, and they ran past the guy on the second level. And
Wallabog did that like three times, man.
Smoke's kind of expecting him to make the block, and oh no, this dude is coming free. So yeah, that kind of stuff. I think they can get that kind of stuff cleaned up and be okay. And Levis, we talked on the recap episode about how Levis was disappointed in that 300-yard passing game. So I think, you know, sometimes some plays that he missed on where the play with too much mustard on the ball, a couple of
passes. Oh, the one to Justice Dingle. Yeah.
I think he's going to kind of have that better. He'll be more of a flow. And so, yeah, Kentucky's got every reason to be confident. Sure, we're looking through blue tinted glasses a little bit, but there's no reason for Kentucky.
They got the roster. They do. And they beat them last year. Like, I understand it's a different venue and a different quarterback, but they beat them last year. I mean, and you know what? The Kentucky's offense didn't even play very well in that game. And I mean, Wandale had a great play, but outside of that, I think Levis had under 100 passing yards. That's not going to happen again. That's just not.
When you get a first-year coach, we all remember Stoops' first year. The cover was bare, but every first-year coach – you're going to get your teeth kicked in. Kentucky went 2-10. Pruitt at Tennessee, he struggled. Billy Napier.
Dan Mullen lost his first game to Kentucky. Yeah. His first SEC game at Florida. Yeah. And I know he was at Mississippi State before that, but his first SEC game at Florida was the 2018 streak ender.
So Florida, first year under Napier, still just his second game as their coach.
Yeah, first SEC game.
His culture is not completely in place. Dan Mullen mailed it in last year. They were a train wreck. So give him credit for what he's done, but I still think he's going to take his lumps as his first year as Florida's head coach. Now, he might prove me wrong, and they might go 8-4, 9-3, and I'll be like, whoa, Billy Napier, my bad.
Yeah.
I gotta see him do that before and it starts Saturday. So
that's exactly right, and That's why I had LSU finishing sixth in the West, and I had Florida.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Finishing fifth in the East because it's so hard to get it done as a first-year head coach, especially in the best conference by miles. Yeah. I mean, it's just a different league. And, you know, obviously, again, they have nothing to apologize for. They deserved that game last week. They had their quarterback, again, amazing. A lot of good things. But it's just hard to fully buy into a hype train and see, like, all this love for them after one game. And I think part of it is, you know, the national media and, you know, Florida, they're just dying for these big brands to get good again. Like, I will admit, like, it'd be good for college football if Florida's good again. It would be good if Florida State and Miami are good again. And they all are off to a good start so far. And then, you know, Nebraska, they're done. Just throw them out of the conversation. It would have been nice, but they're done. Texas is on the rise. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but they're coming. And USC is definitely coming. Lincoln Riley, he's as good a coach I think there is. So, and I think there's that starvation for Florida to be back. And I think it's just, you know, just pump the brakes, you know. And if you're Kentucky, that's exactly what you want to do. You want to make everyone pump the brakes. And I will say this, it is good that Kentucky has the chip back on their shoulder, because last week you heard Mark Stoops say he said the chip on there was none. It was very businesslike. They knew they were going to win that game. And that's good. You should be confident, and it's good. You're still taking care of business, but you need to have something that motivates you. And Kentucky's has never been in the position where they're picked to finish second in the East. They have Chris Doran going out picking them to go 11-1, and I think beating Georgia. So, like, they've just never been in this spot, and maybe, like, they got a little complacent last week and kind of knew they were the better team, which they were, but maybe it was just too much. And this week, now they're the underdog again. I mean, they're 5.5. They've been as high as a 7-point dog. No one's picking them. All the hype is on Florida. And now it's house money again, right? If Kentucky loses, I don't think anyone in the national media is going to come after Kentucky and say, man, wow, they were picked to finish second. They suck, overrated, blah, blah, blah. Unless they come out and lay an absolute egg, that's not going to be the conversation. Mm-hmm. The conversation is going to be, wow, Florida's back. So if you're Kentucky, you can just flip the narrative on Florida and, you know, just keep doing your own thing. And then, you know, you got 2 weeks where you should be able to clean up business and clean things up and be 4-0 going to Ole Miss.
Exactly. And I like your point too, what you saw with D. Beckwith. And I knew the whole plan, H-back and all that, but I kept just saying, look, put him back there and
let's gotta do it.
Can he be Derrick Henry? Can he be Eddie George? Give him a shot. And if and now maybe with Jefferson going out and Wright being banged up, maybe it kind of dictates that they give him a look there. But I thought he should have got a shot there anyway. You don't see many 6'4", 6'5", running backs like that. So maybe he can do it. Maybe he's better at H-back. They're at practice. They know. But I was like, give him some crap.
Give him a shot. Just give it. Yeah. And now it's a necessity. And I think the other guy that's really interesting in this is Michael Drennan. Like, I don't know what they really think of him, man. It's like, it's kind of upsetting because he was a high 4-star guy. I think he was the second highest ranked recruit in the class he signed with behind, I can't remember off the top of my head who he was behind, but he was number 2. And, you know, I don't know what his role is, but you have to bring 3 running backs into a game. You just have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we saw that's where Kentucky's been the best, right? 2019 was Rose, Smoke, and C-Rod, and obviously Lynn at quarterback. You know, you had Boom Williams, Saheem King, and Benny Snell. You had Snell, Rose, and forget who the third back on that team was, but they did have a third back. So you always got to have 3 backs. They don't all have to be great like Rose, Smoke, and C-Rod were that year, but you got to have 3 capable guys. So whether it's Beckwith or Drennan, they need somebody under Smoke and Wright to be a factor and, keep the defense on their toes.
Exactly. So you've been on a couple of Gators podcasts. How are they feeling after one game? What do you see from them? You mentioned the corners are a little bit weak. We talked about Anthony Richardson. What else do you see when you think about the Gators and talk with their members of the media?
Yeah, they're pretty confident. they were more fan pods, and that's cool. Like, I obviously, anyone who does this, it's great to get your name out there and do this thing. But I think the first podcast I talked to was more like, you know, this, we're going to like blah, blah, blah. Last night it was confidence, but, you know, respect for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And everyone respects Mark Stoops, that's the common theme. But Florida wise, I think their strengths are obviously the quarterback. And then I think their pass rush, it didn't get home last week, but they've got dudes there. I mean, whether it's Brenton Cox, Ventrell Miller, I mean, they've got dudes up front. And that's why this is such a pivotal game for Kentucky's offensive line to have their best five and be disciplined and be sound, because that's the strength of the Florida defense, is their D-line and some of their linebackers. But yeah, I'm not too high on their corners. I thought Cam Rising, Utah's quarterback, had a pretty good day outside of the really bad decision at the end of the game. And they didn't stop the run. You're able to kind of get through the middle, the nose tackles a little bit, where they're really good on the edges. So if you can run the ball up the middle and, you know, have that, and then you're able to be balanced and be unpredictable by mixing in the throw, I think you're going to be fine offensively. I will say this about their nose. They have one nose tackle. I was going through their depth chart, who's 439 pounds. 439. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. I'm going to get his name while I keep talking here. But they've got size, but Utah was able to run pretty well up the middle last week. And then on the offensive side of the ball, we all know what Anthony Richardson is. We can go on and on about him. It's not worth going even further. He's great. But they've got three good running backs. Trevor Etienne, who's the brother of Travis Etienne. He's the brother of Travis Etienne. I'm close enough to Jacksonville, I should know that. But and you got they have the transfer from Louisiana who followed Billy, and they have another guy too. So the running back room is solid, though they did fumble twice. Etienne had a fumble, and the kid from Louisiana whose name is slipping me had a fumble too. But then their biggest question, they have a great offensive line, that's the other thing. But the biggest question from Florida going into the year personnel-wise was who's going to step up at receiver. And outside of Ricky Pearsall, who's the slot receiver from Arizona State, it's still – the jury's out there. So this is a big game for Kentucky's nickels, Alex Afari and Andrew Phillips, to contain Pearsall. And then it's a huge game for Carrington Valentine, man. It is a huge game because it's kind of a weakness on weakness. Just calling it what it is, Florida's not great at the out boundary corner, and I don't think Carrington Valentine's a great corner yet. And this is a game where he can prove himself and make me eat my crow, and I hope I can, because he's a hardworking kid. He has all the athletic tools, but the route, you know, the biggest thing with him was route recognition and hip and hammer, whatever that, the Penn State transfer from Miami, Ohio, he torched him last week. He did. I mean, there was one good pass breakup, but I think that's the key matchup is Valentine versus whoever he's on the boundary. Because if Valentine can shut down his side, I feel pretty good about Keedron Smith. And if you can make it, they have to go to Pearsall. Yeah, you're feeling pretty good. Because I don't know all that much about their tight ends, but it's nothing that – it's not Brock Bowers out there. They'll be fine.
Exactly. So, we – kind of stated our case, think that, you know, Kentucky's definitely equipped to go down there and handle business. And,
oh, they're definitely equipped, yeah.
You know, the focus will be there as they execute. And in spite of the spread, we kind of think they can go toe-to-toe and are better in enough areas, you know, or even in enough areas.
Yeah.
More than hold their own. You know, Florida's going to have edge here and there and
yeah,
maybe in their offensive line, but that's Kentucky's.
They have a good old line.
Kentucky's front's very good too, though. But
it is.
Their receivers are weak. Kentucky's corners are question marks. Like you said, the question marks, it all matches up.
It really does. I mean, it's Kentucky's corners versus Florida's receivers. Those are two question marks. Mm-hmm. And our offensive line against their noses, I think their interior defensive tackle, they kind of rotate those guys. They play a 3-4. So Yeah, they got to protect the edges, though. That, I mean, it's a big game for Kenneth, obviously, and it's a huge game for Jeremy Flax. They got to protect the edges. If you give Will Levis time, he's gonna be fine. He's that good. So, yeah, this game is you could break it down. The more I think about it, it's simple, man. Protect Levis, and you'll have a shot. Because I think you can score with Florida, but if you aren't able to score, they're going to score enough to win this game. Florida is, just because Anthony Richardson, and Brad White said it, he's going to make his plays. Like, there are going to be a couple plays in there that are like, all right, you know, you tip your cap. It's a matter of limiting those. But if you let them have three of those, and, you know, that's 21 points, okay, you got to be able to score 21 of your own. That's the key. You want to make sure you can score with Florida. Let it get in. I mean, obviously you want your defense to play well, but if it has to, let it get to a shootout. Like, make sure you're scoring with them.
Yeah. And the tight ends for Kentucky are versatile. Yeah. We've heard a lot about them. They can kind of help with the protection if need be.
They need to better this week.
If it gets dire.
It wasn't great last week.
Yeah, yeah. So step up and help your tackles protect if need be. Fans been clamoring for tight ends and offense for years. We saw a touchdown to a tight end last week. So
yeah, Brennan Bates.
Yeah, that. So they can, and Skangs loves him. We already know he loves it. We saw what he did with Kittle in the 49ers, and I hate
Bates is the best blocking tight end too. This is a big game for him. Brendan Bates is a big game for Brendan Bates.
So they, and the big blue wall is got a bad taste in their mouth. They saw those sacks they gave up.
They know they sucked. Let's be honest.
So, is it as bad as the fans want to say? Maybe not. Is it just a few tweaks here and there? Probably so. Yeah. But they want to rectify how they played last week. And once the whistle blows and the game starts, all that goes out the window. But they know they're on a mission to, hey, we got to put together a lot better game than we played last week. And we got a more challenging opponent than we had last week. So we better step it up. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think you're totally right. They're hungry. They were not happy with their performance. You just see, Eli Cox is the one who talked to the media after the game. He was not happy, man. Yeah. He was not happy. They're motivated to do better, and they have to do better. Again, I really think if they play well, Kentucky's got a shot. If they don't, they just don't. I mean, that's the SEC. I mean, there's not. No games on the SEC slate. Even Vanderbilt this year, you can't get away with poor offensive line play. You right. just can't. So, I'm not saying they're going to be back to the big blue wall we know, but, you know, hold them to two sacks, you know, get better, run for 100 yards, just just get better, small wins. That's what you got to see. And the other factor we haven't even talked about is need another big special teams game. I mean, let Matt Ruffalo's got to keep going, man. I mean, he looks so much. He used to be, oh God, he has an extra point attempt. Is it going to go through to hitting 50 yarders left and right? So, you know, he's got to keep it going. And I mean, it's hard to ask Berrion Brown to score another touchdown, but just Tavion Robinson setting tones for drives in the punt return game, having good blocks like they were last week. I thought Kavasi Smoke had an amazing block for the Berrion Brown touchdown. So specials is another big area where, you know me, I love special teams. It's the most underrated facet of the game. And that could be somewhere where Kentucky has an advantage, because from everything I understood, Florida's a work in progress in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. So definitely that they did play great as an entire unit.
That was the best unit. The defense played really well for the most part. The offense was mixed, but special teams gets an A+. They really do. They maybe not the punter. He had one bad punt, but everything else was perfect special teams wise.
And man, Ruffalo just, you know,
where did this come from?
He's not the biggest, strongest dude. He's just, you know, just kind of a, you know, you don't want to say roly-poly, just kind of a pudgy little dude.
He is,
yeah. And Chance Poor was the highly touted kid, and he is
the number one kicking recruit.
He has held him off for years. He's kept that job, and, you know.
Yeah, this is both of their last years. It's over. Yeah. Ruffalo won it, man. And it's going to be the Jackson Smith kid next year.
And then he's increased his leg strength coming in this year. I mean, nobody had him – hitting last week, the field goal he hit. Oh,
that's what I'm saying. Like, he went from Remember when the Ole Miss game, when he missed the extra point and Lane Kiffin said he owed him a Christmas present? He went from that low moment to hitting, you know, a 50-yarder. It's like, that's such an underrated thing. I mean, if you can get 3 points out of a drive that didn't get as far down the field as he wanted to, and that's big. That's big. And
he's taken away a lot of stress. You used to, he'd run out there and you're like, oh.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. Ever since McGinnis left, it was, I mean, Miles Butler, we saw how that went. Poor, we saw how that went. Ruffalo, the start, we saw how that went. So, yeah, it's big to have a kicker you can trust. And also, I mean, last year, we're saying all this, last year special teams won the game.
You're right. Right.
Yep. I mean, Pascal's not walking through that door, but yeah. Special teams won the game last.
It definitely did. Definitely did. Got to tell y'all, too, about our friends at La Terrain Watches. You got to get yourself a nice timepiece. Go to their website to get it. LaTerrain.com, LaTerrain.com. See what Dave and Ben got to offer. It's going to be good quality products for men, for women, accessories. You can, you know, get whatever different type of style you like. It's not just one. Seafarer, Atlas, different types. Go on the website. Hit the chat button, ask any kind of question you want to ask them. They can answer you and give you the information you need to feel confident about your purchase. LaTerrain.com, friends of this podcast, each and every episode, we go back, way back with LaTerrain.com. So definitely check them out. And our good friends at the Sea of Blue put these episodes up on their site, and we definitely appreciate that. So more listeners and BBN fans that Bleed Blue can listen to AG and I and Jalen when he's on with us, chop it up about the Cats, man. So have fun definitely previewing this episode. Before we hop off, though, I got to ask you, we got to flip it up. Your Yankees are up 4.5 games. My Braves are up. My Braves are half a game back. Are they both going to win their divisions?
Yeah, I'm rooting for the – trust me, I want to give all the crap I can to my Mets fan buddies back home. So I'm rooting for the Braves every day. But, the Yankees have been a debacle the last month or so. And
Are you going to hold on, though? Are y'all going to hang on?
It's all this – if they win the series against Tampa Bay this weekend, they will. If they don't, oh, boy. But it's hard right now. They got seven of their 9 starters are injured. They have 2 guys on the paternity list that's just like –
And who just went up?
LeMahieu's hurt. Dang. And Trevino's having a kid, so he's away. It's just a mess. Yeah. And Stanton, it's a mess.
Yeah, his foot, yeah. Your Giants open up in Nashville where you just flew out of. How are they going to fare against the Titans?
I'll be there Sunday. They better win. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, right. I'm flying back Sunday to be there, so – they better win, but I don't know, man. They're rebuilding. They're doing it the right way this time. I just hope they show some things that it's getting better. Tennessee's a tough task week one, though. They got obviously I don't think they have the best pass game, but they have the best running back in the league. We all know that in Derrick Henry, and they've got a really good pass rush. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons. No, Harold Landry's out, but man, they got some dudes on the – and Bud Dupree, obviously, everyone knows how special he is around our parts. So, yeah, they got a good pass rush, and they've got the best running back in the game, so it'll be tough.
Our boys open up with Tampa Bay Sunday night.
The GOAT.
Played them tough last year down
there. They did.
Should have won that. Make a field goal, we win. Our special teams let us down in that game. I just got a bad feeling, though. I'm
worried about something I'd never you know think about the Cowboys. I'm worried about their offensive line this year. It's because I mean, even, you know, obviously the playoff success hasn't been there, but every year, you know, you got a good offensive line. You know, you're going to run the ball. You know, Dak's going to be on his feet. But man, with Smith out and experience, it's very un-Dallas like.
Jason Peters from the Eagles, he's 40, and he's playing that left tackle spot. So, yeah, that and the O-line and wide receiver, who is going to step up in the
outside of CD Lamb,
two and three behind CD.
I don't know why they let Cedric Wilson walk. I really liked him.
And Amari Cooper and Leo Collins. But a lot of the Believe in Dallas guys, Jesse Holly and Jeff – he's on the fan station down there. Jerry was kind of over those guys about the vaccine and stuff, and that was more to make a decision.
Come on, man. From
a personal standpoint than a business standpoint is what they were saying. So it may come back to bite you now that the season's here. But
Who knows, man? All I know is we both hate Philly, and they're going to be really good. That sucks.
I'm still thinking maybe Jalen Hurts might not
be. Oh, yeah, that, I agree with that.
That's what I'm hoping.
But every other position group, they loaded. They're loaded.
Was it Chris Sims that had them as the number one seed?
Oh, okay, that's too far.
I was like, now that's
That's the guys you're playing tomorrow. You're playing Sunday night. I would make an argument for LA, but last night, and I still think the Rams will be good, but that was bad.
And Buffalo let them back in it and then smoked them again.
I know.
They could have been doing what they did at halftime the whole game, and it shouldn't have been 10-10.
All I'm going to say is I finally got Cooper Kupp in fantasy this year, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. They might have gotten their ass kicked, but 31 points to open the year. I'll take that any day of the week.
Exactly. And with that, man, we got our Gators preview in for this episode of Believe in Kentucky. We'll be back early next week recapping the Florida game, previewing Mark Stoops' hometown reunion game with Youngstown
State. Bryce Oliver revenge game.
That's right. So hope y'all enjoy it. Y'all go to Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. Go right to believe.com, search up Kentucky, and you can just play each and every episode. This one will show up new, and then all the other ones that we've done will be right there behind it, and you can listen to all of those. So we definitely appreciate that. Hope everybody has a good weekend. If it's raining where y'all are, like it is where we are, y'all be safe and stay dry. If not, have fun in the sun and stay safe. Get to a TV tomorrow at 7 if you're not in the swamp, and enjoy the cats at the Gators. AG, man, be safe. And
yes, sir.
I'll be rooting for you, Giants, because I don't care for the Titans. I live outside Knoxville, so I'm not a Titan.
Yeah, you don't need the noise. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
So until next time, we'll holler at everybody later. For my man AG Aaron Gershon, this is Vinny Hardy. It's been another episode of Believe in Kentucky, and we'll holler at y'all next week.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.